Blog Talk Radio.
Out there. I hope everyone is staying warm, snuggled up with your loved one. As you know right now, the North is trying to dig themselves out of that blizzard, and we down here is trying to prepare for one coming our way with them. But I'm very thankful that I have a nice warm place to be, and I know you guys are too. Okay, tonight we're going to try to do this in two segments. First, we're going to finish off our conversation about slavery in the United States. As you know, this is Black History Month, and I'm probably going to have to take my whole subject and probably move it into March also. Because there's so much about Black history, and I know I'm not going to be able to cover everything. Once we finish with our discussion on Black history, we're then going to talk about Valentine's Day, and I will recite to you some verses about love from the Bible, and this is not just because I'm trying to be religious or push religion on you. I think the Bible has the most beautiful stories about love, so that's the reason why I like to read from the Bible when it comes to those type of stories. And what better book to read from when it comes to love? Because as you know, Jesus was. God sent his son to die on the cross for us. That was true love. So that's the reason why I wanted to read a couple of verses about love to you. So that's on our Valentine's. Then, in between times, you will be hearing songs from Bobby Womack, Alicia Keys, Al Jarreau, the Dramatics, and Raphael Sadiq, and many, many more. I'm going to try to make sure this whole hour is filled with love and insightful information for you guys. Okay? Now, we've discussed, or I've read to you, last week about slavery in the United States. I'm going to recap a little bit. The first record of an African-American slave in colonial America was made in 1619. There were black and white indentured slaves. There were slaves who also owned slaves. There were slaves who chased and captured slaves, or African-Americans or Africans that caught slaves for the slave owners. The reason that there was a big need for slaves was because they were like efficient machine-like gang systems of agriculture. They knew how to till the land, and they had farming experience. So we'll discuss again the number of slaves that we had here in the States was, we had a large amount, according to what this says here. So we're going to continue that conversation. Slavery in America, on American soil, grew at such a fast rate that by 1750, over 200,000 African slaves were here in the United States. 50 years later, that number grew to 700,000. South Carolina alone, African slaves outnumbered their white population, and they made up for most of at least one half of the population in the states, Maryland and Virginia. The free black American population did expand to about 40,000 throughout the colonies by 1770. The system of slavery slavery was so entrenched in the daily routines of on America's soil that it had to be dealt with as a national issue. Lengthy debates, political compromises, moral dilemma, slave rebellion, and a nation divided against itself suddenly had to face the issue of enslaved Africans existing on American soil. American condoned the peculiar institution of slavery from 1619 up until the passage of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which abolished slavery and involuntary servitude on December 18, 1865. Now I'm going to go back to the beginning a little bit. Once again, to add some more information, according to Professor Melvin Sylvester of C.W. Post campus of Long Island University, states that the Portuguese was the first to embark upon slave trade, starting around 1562. The practice of slavery grew to an exponential proportion from 1646 up until 1790. A prime area for slaves was on the west coast of Africa, called Sudan. The area was ruled by three major empires: Ghana from 1790 to 1240, Mali from 1240 to 1600, and Songhai from 670 to 1591. Other smaller nations were also canvassed by slavers along the west coast. They included among them Benin, Dahomey, and Ashanti. The people inhabiting these African nations were known for their skills in agriculture, farming, and mining. The African Ghana were well known for smelting iron ore, and the Benins were famous for their cast bronze artwork. African tribal wars produced captives, which became a bartering resource in the European slave market. Other slaves were kidnapped by white and black hunters. The main sources of barter used by the Europeans to secure African slaves were glass beads, whiskey, ivory, and guns. Boy, what a thing. You listen to those little bitty items that we turned around and sold ourselves or our neighbors or family members for glass beads, whiskey, ivory, and guns. Man, awesome. Okay. Let's talk about according to innercity.org slave chronicles, in 1638, the price of an African-American slave male was around $27, while the salary of a European laborer was about 70 cents a day. Whippy and branding borrowed from the Roman practice via Iberia American colonies appeared early and with vicious audacity. One Virginian slave named Manuel was convicted of trying to escape in July 1640 and was condemned and convicted to 30 stripes with the letter R for runaway branded on his cheek, and he worked in shackles for about a year or more, or until the slave owner thought it was time to take off the shackles. Slavery spread quickly in American colonies. At first, the legal statutes of African in America was poorly defined, and some, like European indentured servants, managed to become free after several years of service. Massachusetts, Connecticut, Virginia legalized slavery. After 1691, freed black slaves were banished from the state of Virginia. In other words, you were snatched up you were sent to Virginia, or you were pushed into Virginia. When you became free, you were no longer allowed to stay there. What a way we did things in America. Keep in mind, slavery in the United States was governed by an extensive body of laws developed from 1660 to the 1800s. Every slave state had its own slave code and body of court decisions. All slave codes made slavery a permanent condition inherited through the mother, and defined slaves are property usually in the same term as those applied to real estate. Slaves being property could not own property or be party of a contract. Now, since a marriage was a form of a contract, no slave marriage had any legal standing. Isn't that something? If you were a slave that was charged with some type of crime in the state of Virginia, you were tried in a special non-jury court created in 1692. Once you were convicted, you were either hung, burned at the stake, dismembered, castrated, and branded in addition to usual whippings. The fear of slavery uprising was undercurrent. So you can tell already they were scared. So they would do everything they could to keep us from coming together and forming an uprising. Throughout most of the colonial period, opposition to slavery among white Americans were virtually non-existent because they were beneficial for them. Settlers that came after the 1600s came from a sharply stratified society in which the wealthy savagely exploited members of the lower class. They didn't care. I need a slave. I need my shoes washed, my clothes. Excuse me, I need my shoes shined, my clothes washed, my house kept clean. Give me a slave. The transatlantic slave trade produced one of the largest forced migrations in history. From the early 1600s to the mid-1900s, between 10 and 11 million of African slaves were taken from their homeland and herded like cattle, forced together so that they could be brought and sent to a strange land on a dirty ship. Ghana, being the headquarters of African slave trade, little known was tropical America was the real center of the trade. Slavery had existed as a human institution for centuries, but the slaves were usually captives taken in war or members of the lowest class in society. The African American slave trade, by contrast, was a major economic enterprise. What American slavery eventually developed into was somewhat unique in several respects. Slavery in other parts of the world had typically involved prisoners of war and was considered a humane alternative to being put to death. Rarely was children of these prisoners also placed into slavery. While many slaves were brutalized to the extent that they died without entering into a meaningful and sustainable forms of social and cultural interaction with their compadres, many other slaves more or less successfully reestablished communities, reformulated their sense of identity, and reinterpreted authenticity under slavery and freedom in the Americas. Now, we will stop right there talking about slavery, and I want to move into some songs. Now, I want you to say that because there's always room for error, so I always will say, bear with me, just in case I have some technical difficulties. Al Jarreau. Now I want to play Walking in the Rain by the Dramatics.
Thank you. Boy, and make you laugh with your friends.
day to all of you out there, lovers, significant others, people who just lost love right around Valentine's Day, and people who will eventually gain love. And this segment, we will discuss love. And like I said, I found some Bible verses that pertaining to love, and I wanted to read some of them. I was going to try to get all of them in, but I'm probably not going to be able to. So let's start with the Song of Solomon. It's chapter 2, and it's verse 16. A lot of these verses are very short, so it shouldn't take me long. The Song of Solomon says, "My lover is mine and I am his." Okay. Solomon 4:10 says, "How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice." Solomon, first chapter, second verse, excuse me. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Sounds very sensual. Solomon 8:6 says, "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame." Okay, I like these. Solomon 8:7 says, "Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot wash it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly scorned." Then we're going to go to Proverbs. Proverbs 5:19 says, "A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love." And Ephesians 5:19 says, if I can find it, I must have missed it. We're going to go with Ephesians 5:20. I'm sorry, it was Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Ephesians 5:33 states, "However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." And then we have the love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I have nothing. If I can give all possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have I not love, I gain nothing." So, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then the last two verses I found, I'll recite to you, is 1 John, if I can find it, 4:8, and it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And the last verse that I will read to you, if I can find it again, is I have 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So that's how we know what love is. So, now that I've read you those verses, I hope you have a clear understanding what love is. And I didn't clarify something. Love actually, in the Bible, started with Adam and Eve. And book of Genesis, where God loved Adam so much that he felt that Adam was lonely, and he took his rib. First he put him to sleep. He took his rib and made him a companion, and that's how we got Eve. And then Eve and Adam became lovers, and they took care of each other, and God took care of them. So the origination of love literally comes from that.
Touch me while Hey ladies, you love looking beautiful? Do you like looking sexy? Well, I have a solution for you. Lace Wigs and Laundry by Jenny, where you can find large varieties of wigs, long, short, curly, straight. They have a variety of in-stock lace wigs. You also can get some custom-made wigs, synthetic or human hair. The prices are unbeatable. Let's not forget their wide assortment of lingerie and shoes. All the things you will need to do your thing. Yeah. Lace Wigs and Lingerie by Jenny. Coming soon to a website near you. Lace Wigs and Lingerie by Jenny.com. Check it out. Choose some shoes, a sexy nightgown, and some sexy hair. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm learning what I need to continue to work on, and that's my sound, my speakers, because I know it came out very crappy, and I'm going to say it because it's my show. But I see what I need to fine-tune. I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. I want to say to everyone who's born in the month of February, because my birthday is Tuesday, February the 16th, and I will be 46 years old, and I am very happy, and I'm not ashamed to tell my age because everyone says I don't look my age. But I know how I feel and how I see myself, and I don't feel my age. So, to all my February babies out there, happy birthday to you guys. Happy Valentine's Day. And I would like to close the show by you guys commenting on my show, emailing me, sensible64@yahoo.com. You can catch me on blogtalkradio.com. You know, you can email me through there. My website is still is in limbo. It's up there, but it's in limbo. Me and my different projects I keep trying to start. I'm trying to be faithful to my radio show because I know eventually I'm going to go somewhere with it this year. I am determined to continue my Thursday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. I'm hoping I can continue to find subjects you guys want to talk about or subjects that people come to me and ask me to do. I hope in the past month, the shows and the segments that we talked about, I hope they helped someone. With this Black History, like I said in the beginning, I think I'm going to take the Black History all the way into March because there's points and segments that I do want you guys to be informed on. Again, I want to say thank you guys. I want you to have a blessed rest of the week. Stay warm, snuggle up to the one you love. Look that person in the eye and say, I love you, and no matter what, I'll be with you. We'll work out the hard times and the bad times, and we'll make this work. It's not always easy to drop from one person to another. So when you're getting ready to make a decision like that, after so many years together, whether you're married or you're shacking, or the other word is living together, make sure whatever decision you make that you're happy with the decision. And I'm not going to say don't ever have to go back to that person because sometimes if we separate and get some breathing room, when we come back together, it's even better. So I'm really encouraging you men and women out there who are on the verge of breaking up. Maybe you do need some time apart, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's time for you to get in other relationships. That can desperately or definitely mean that you need some time away from each other so that you can find out what you want. And once you come back together, you guys can probably either agree or don't agree or know that right then and there it's time for you guys to actually separate. But I don't want to talk about that. It's Valentine's, and I don't want to talk about separation. I want to talk about people making your relationships last and making them work for you. Always remember, love, relationships, marriage is a 24-hour job, including the 8-hour job you do and get paid for. The relationship you don't get paid for, the only reward you get is not in money. It's in the love and devotion you have for that person have for you, the protection that you have with that person, the security you have with that person. I tell you right now, I'm going to end this because I'll keep rambling on. I want to say thank you guys. Continue to listen to my show. I need comments. I need feedback. Show me how to do this better. I'm here if you need me for a guest on your show. Just let me know. Contact me by email. I want to close out the show with Candy Duffer, A Home Is Not a Home.